All right, well, here we are. Still kind of talking about being infectious. You know, I'm kind of an evangelism guy, so infectious may just kind of be a word that sticks in my vocabulary for a while. But specifically, we're still on that today, third week in a series, and I think we'll talk some more about being infectious next week and kind of wrap it up, sort of, although, it, like I said, it'll probably be built into my vocabulary for a while, I think. But I believe that if you truly know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I believe that you want others to know about Jesus too. I believe that. I believe that you want to be infectious with the good news. Now, may not always know how, but I believe that any true believer really wants to be that person, wants to share that good news. You know, hey, can I just tell you something? One of the most infectious, contagious truths associated with the good news of Jesus Christ, it's the message of God's amazing grace. Amen? His amazing grace. You know, I talked last week about God's undeserved favor, you know, His grace, His amazing grace. And one of the most amazing things I think about God's amazing grace is that just how easy it is to relate to. It's a simple thing, really. God's grace is not only amazing, it's just pretty dadgum simple to receive and understand. Don't you agree? We complicate things. We just try to make things so complicated, but really, it's a simple thing. And I can show you what I mean by just sharing with you our main text this morning from Ephesians. We're still in Ephesians. We're in chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, if you want to turn there with me. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 4. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much. It seems silly to just say these words, but thank You for Your grace, for Your amazing grace. Thank You, Lord, for this time that we can gather and be students of Your Word. And so help us to do that, Lord. Help us to get focused, just clear our hearts and minds of whatever it is going on in our lives that would distract us. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that You would bind Satan and any distractions that would keep us from focusing on the reason that You brought us here this morning, and that was to learn more about You. And so, Lord, I pray that You set my personality aside and allow me to just deliver Your message. And I pray that now in faith and in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's look this morning at some simple truths about God's amazing grace. Let's just break it down into some simple truths as we look at God's amazing grace. And some things that we can relate to. Number one, love. Love. If we go back to verse 4 there, chapter 2. But because of His great love for us. Love. Now, God is love. And we have to remember that He is love. That makes love the starting point anytime you head down a road with God into the realm of His amazing grace. Love is the starting point. But before you can receive God's amazing grace into your life, you've got to start learning and believing that God really does love you. He loves you. And why does He love you? Why does God love you? Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says a lot about this. God is love, for starters. 1 John 4:7-8. You probably have this one memorized. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. We forget about that, and we think about how loving He is. He's not loving, He is love. My beautiful bride last week heard a message on the radio, and a lot of times she'll hear something on the radio and she'll call and tell me about it, or I'll call and tell her when I hear one. And she called me last week because she'd heard a preacher talking about God's Word. And it's funny how often, for me, how often God's voice sounds like my wife's voice, but that wasn't the point of what this preacher was saying this time. This preacher was making a point on the radio about how often folks talk about how they're just trying to get a word from the Lord. They're just hoping that they can get a message from the Lord. And I hear people say it. I've said it myself. I've said, gosh, I just wish I could get it in writing from Him. Now, how ridiculous is something like that to say about the Lord? I just wish I could get an email from Him. I wish I could just, He would just put it in writing for me. I hear people say, you know, I'm just trying to get a word from the Lord. I'm just trying to get clear on what it is He's trying to say to me. See, here's the deal. Most of us, probably none of us, are ever going to get a burning bush experience. Probably not. But here's the deal. God's pretty well already said everything that He needs to say, and it's right here in His book. If I need it in writing, I've got it in writing. It's right here in His book. So it's kind of silly saying. I thought that was a good point. Everything He's already said, everything He already needs to say, He said, and it's in His book. So you want God to speak to you? Read His book. And His book tells us this morning that God is love. God is love. So why does God love you? Because He is love. And so it's His nature to love. God's personality is not loving. He's not loving, He is love. And that's kind of have to let that settle in. But as long as we allow Satan's lies to put doubt in our hearts, we begin to balance it out with our worthiness. It's not about our worthiness. It's not about our character. It's about His character. He is love. What happens is as we allow Satan to let those lies seep into everything that we do, it starts to put a ceiling on us on how far we can grow in our spiritual walk. It keeps us from moving forward because we've got limits on God's love. He can't limit His love because He is love. Turn to somebody right now and just say, hey, listen, I blew it. I've messed up a lot in my life. Anyone? Is this thing on?
Check. Let's try this again.
Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, I've blown it. I've messed up in my life. Three people. Okay. Those of you that participated, now look at that same person and say, but God still loves me. See, you've got to believe that in your heart. That no matter what you've done, God still loves you. No matter what you've done, He still loves you. And in order to receive God's amazing grace in your life and all that you do into your walk as a Christian, you've got to understand God loves you. And by the way, did you know there are different kinds of love? Sure there are. Let me give you some examples with this. Here are some things that I love. I love biscuits and gravy. Now, that was the only picture I could find. You all realize, of course, that's like a half order. That's not a real order of biscuits and gravy. I love biscuits, so I would like a whole plate. I love biscuits. Exhibit A. Okay. I love Corvettes. I just like to look at them. And I like them to be red, if at all possible. I love them. Just love to see them. I don't really need to drive them. I just like to look at them. I love them. Okay. I love my beautiful bride. There she is. I love her. I love my family. I love my church family. I stood back there at the back wall ago looking at everyone down in front of me, and I thought, you know, this is kind of like when we're at home and we're having a family gathering. Sometimes I'll look out across the house and I see all those kids and people, and I think, wow, that's my family. That's what I thought a while ago when I looked out across. That's my church family. I love my church family. I love coffee. I love Starbucks coffee. I like to get a grande pike with room for cream, please, at Starbucks. I love coffee, and of course I love my St. Louis Cardinals. But now, you look at that montage of stuff I love, and that's just getting started. Surely you don't think that's all the same kind of love. I don't love biscuits and gravy the same way I love my wife or the way I love my kids. It's all different kinds of love. And that, so there's not all the same kind of love everywhere you go. And certainly God's love is not the same kind of love that I got for any of those things up there, because He is love. I'm not love. I can just be loving based on His love working through me, but I'm not love. God is love. He is love. And so God's love is not mushy, it's not contingent, it doesn't come with rules. He doesn't love me only if I also love the stuff He loves. He just loves me. And He loves you too. And so we got to get that settled in. And so God's love is about affection and a charitableness and a commitment. And coupled with His mercy, His love produces a depth of compassion that is really beyond what we can really comprehend. Listen, all we can really do is just stand in awe of the Creator. And by the way, we call Him the Creator a lot, but He's also the Sustainer. The Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. Just to think that He would consider each and every one of us individually, every thought, every desire, every concern, every need, with such delight and fondness. All we can do is look at that in awe, because He is love. We got to get that settled in. And God's love for us is so great that He gave Jesus, His only Son, to die in our place. Oh, come on. You guys aren't with me this morning. Somebody should have said hallelujah when I said all that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Ethel. I knew somebody was with me. How about this? Look what it says in John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. God sent Jesus because He loves us. If you want to experience the wonderful joy of God's amazing grace, it starts by learning and believing in God's love for you all the time. Not just during a warm and fuzzy prayer time, all the time. Even when you pass out while you're driving a school bus down the road, still loves you. Yep. Even when you wake up and you don't know where you are, still loves you. All that. Yep. If you want to experience the wonderful joy of God's amazing grace, it starts by learning and believing in God's love for you all the time, because He is love. Now, another simple truth associated with God's amazing grace, it's not so warm and fuzzy as love, but it does come with a solution. And that is dead in transgressions. We're dead in our transgressions. Now, that's kind of a churchy phrase. What does it mean? Well, if we go back to verse 5 there, chapter 2 of Ephesians, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace that you've been saved. Now, God's word is not telling us that we're going to die. No, that's not what He's saying. He's saying that we're dead already. Depending on how you look at it, it's either present tense or past tense. It already happened. If you don't have Jesus, you're dead. You're dead in your sin because you're separated from God. See, you're dead already. God's word is referring to a spiritual death. That's what He's talking about. A spiritual death, because to be apart from God, it's the same as being dead, is what it's saying. We're separated from God by our sin. God's the source of life. That's why. So if you're separated from Him, then you're dead. Well, what is sin and why am I dead in my tracks if I'm not accepting and receiving God's amazing grace? Well, sin is when we deviate from integrity and truth. When we deviate from that. Now, we might look at our lives and think, well, you know, I'm a good person. If people would talk about me, they'd say, well, he's a good person. You know, you might live a life that for the most part is a moral lifestyle that people would say that's the lifestyle of a good person. But we have all, every single one of us, at various times in our lives, in various ways, we have deviated from God's version of integrity and truth. Every one of us. Either intentionally or sometimes unintentionally, every one of us. We've all thought, we've all said, we've all done things that weren't right, and we failed to do things that we knew we should have done that were right. And if you don't believe me, the Bible says, we know what it says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Chapter 6 covers the other side of it, for the wages of sin, death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we can't stop there because that helps us segue right into number 3, alive with Christ. Simple truths about amazing grace that are easy to receive and understand. God is love. We're dead in our transgressions without Him, but we are alive with Him. If we go back then to verses 4 and 5. But because of His great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it's by grace. God's amazing grace that you've been saved. Now, historically, we know that Christ lives. There are historical records to prove that He came back from the dead. And our saving faith tells us that Jesus lives in us. And Jesus said in John 5:24, He says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. That deserves a hallelujah. How encouraging is that? I will never be condemned for my sins. That part of my life is over. I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, and because of God's amazing grace, I will not be condemned for my sins. I can stand here and confidently tell you that, because I know Jesus as my Savior. Because of God's amazing grace. 1 John 5:12 says, He who has the Son has life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I mean, this is simple stuff. So, if we put our faith in Jesus and begin a personal relationship with Him by accepting His gift of grace, His amazing grace, then we are alive in Christ Jesus. We're alive in Christ. Moving right along. The heavenly realms. More of those churchy words. The heavenly realms. Verse 6 says, And God raised up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. See, we put our faith in Christ while we're still on earth, but our spiritual position is in the heavenly realms. That means I've already begun as a Christ follower. You as a Christ follower, you've already begun your eternity that includes the heavenly realms. That just means you're already on your way to heaven if you have accepted God's amazing grace. Now, I think one problem with this bit about getting excited about heaven, and I've said this before, I think we've talked about this on Tuesday night, is that to just keep it real, what I hear a lot of times people talk about when they talk about heaven is they say things like streets of gold, and they refer to a lot of gems and jewels everywhere. And see, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, do I have to dress up? I mean, is this a comfortable place? Do I tuck my shirt in? I mean, I have to polish my shoes. This doesn't sound, I mean, I want a picture like a big leather comfortable recliner and the wind's kind of blowing. The Cardinals just play all day long. And that biscuits and gravy. I mean, you know, I'm not thinking about streets of gold. That doesn't sound comfortable to me. I saw a great quote this last week and kind of says what I'm saying, maybe you're saying. Singer-songwriter Andrew Peterson said, we usually think of heaven as the far country, a cloudy, ethereal place. Did I say it right? Something like that. Ethereal place, an eternal church service, which sounds about appealing as a traffic school. I mean, just keep it real. We just don't think about heaven. I mean, we all say, oh yeah, I can't wait to get to heaven. Streets of gold, yeah, it's going to be great, yeah. Well, the truth is that heaven is a much better place than what we can really understand. We've got some misinformation here. We can't quite imagine. And if you think you can't imagine, I got news for you. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. As it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. So we actually haven't been able to conceive because we can't conceive what heaven's going to be like. Here's the good part. As Christians, we've got guaranteed reservations. That's what matters. We've got guaranteed reservations. You know, it's hard to understand and accept, but you can actually send money in and purchase a plane ticket and get there and find out that they have sold more tickets than they have seats. And they can tell you that your guaranteed reservation that you paid for, they just give you your money back or let you take another flight later. It really wasn't guaranteed all along. That's not how it works with Jesus. Guaranteed means guaranteed. A confirmed reservation in heaven is a confirmed reservation. And it's going to be better than we can imagine because the Bible says so. We can't even conceive it. Moving right along, heavenly realms on into incomparable riches. We go back to verse 7. In order that in the coming ages, now that's forever, by the way, that's that eternity bit in heaven, shall the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Incomparable riches, that's eternity. The coming ages. See, as trophies of God's grace, we are His living testimony. He sends us out into the world as His testimony to walk around and be His trophy, to represent Him as His ambassadors. And so, all of us who believe in Jesus, who have received God's amazing grace, we're going to spend the coming ages, all the coming ages, that's eternity, as examples of the incomparable riches, it says, of His amazing grace. Now, again, you know, I just like to keep it real. My mind, I can't grasp eternity. I can't mathematically, I can't figure out in my head that there was no beginning and there is no end. To me, that's like a circle and I don't get that. It has to start somewhere. The good thing is, I don't need to get it. And if I don't get it, I can tell you, I really can't explain it either. All I can tell you is what the Bible says. And in Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So it's okay that I don't understand it. I'm guessing you probably don't get it either. And I'm thinking this tells us it's okay. We're not supposed to understand it. But He put it in our hearts. That's what it says. Eternity is in our hearts. And so, when wise old Solomon was throwing this down, you understand, when he wrote these words, he was contemplating about how life on earth never seems to completely satisfy. How the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And that's actually what the whole book of Ecclesiastes is about. It's just a chronicle of man's always searching for complete fulfillment. And as you read through the book, you know, it's in things like work and wine and the opposite sex and owning lots of stuff and the pursuit of pleasure and you name it. And that's kind of the chronicle of Ecclesiastes. But here's what he also said in chapter 1. Wise old Solomon. He said, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Can I just tell you something? We were never created to be completely satisfied on this earth. That's not part of the plan. Our complete fulfillment and satisfaction lies in the heavenly realms, in heaven. That's where we will be completely and finally fulfilled and satisfied. We were made by and for an eternal God. Whether we get all that or not, we just need to accept it. That's what it is. We have eternity in our hearts because the Bible said so. Our spiritual DNA is structured to be completely satisfied only when we get to heaven. So it's okay to just recognize that that's the case. When we spend eternity with the one who created us, who loves us, who is love, and who lavished His amazing grace on us. How about that? See, it's liberating as I get older. I'm not there, but I'm more and more getting to a place where I am less concerned about my earthly existence. I'm less concerned about reaching out for that brass ring. That used to be a lot more important when I was younger. And I'm starting to understand that satisfaction is not from things and circumstances and people and places and the temperature and all of that stuff that doesn't last forever. They don't have the potential to totally satisfy and they're never gonna. When you set your hopes on eternity, on heaven, that's where the satisfaction comes in. Your contentment and your satisfaction in life ought to come not from things that are temporary, from things that are permanent. You know, words like love and death and life and heaven. These are some simple but critical truths, crucial truths to God's amazing grace. It's all laid out right there in four verses in the book of Ephesians, and they help paint a relevant picture in our minds of God's amazing grace. And if you've already received God's amazing grace, you've already received the gift of His love, then you have passed from death to life. Death is no longer a part of your life. You've moved into life and eternity in heaven. You've secured that. But now, if you've not accepted God's amazing grace, if you've not made that decision yet in your life, then listen to this story. You may have heard this before, but there was a fellow by the name of John. John was a sailor. He had a sailor's mouth. He was in the Royal British Navy. And he deserted the Navy, actually, and he got caught. They caught him, and they flogged him, and they demoted him. He had this tendency to be very foul-mouthed and disrespectful, and he was also pretty good at writing songs. He got busted writing some disrespectful songs about the captain of his ship. He got flogged again and got demoted again. Well, one time during the middle of a very violent storm out on the ocean, he had a genuine and literal come-to-Jesus moment. And so he came to know Jesus as his Savior. And later, after he left the Navy, he became a pastor. And he then used his, a lot like the Apostle Paul, he took his, what he used to have as a devotion to dogging Christianity and being foul and basically a degenerate. He took that and he applied it in his life, and he used it, that devotion, for evangelism. So what he would often do, he took his songwriting ability and he would write a hymn before his sermon, and that would help move along the understanding of what he was trying to preach. And so on Sunday, January 1st, 1773, Pastor John Newton first shared these words with his congregation. You know these words. We're going to sing them in a minute. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What inspired Pastor John Newton was God's amazing grace. That amazing grace. God's grace was amazing, and it was greater than his sin and his life. His hymn has crossed the oceans. The whole world knows this hymn, Amazing Grace. It's lived through time to express what billions of people on this planet have already come to understand. And that is, God's grace is so amazing that it can reach every one of us, plus a whole planet of people, no matter what we've done, no matter how broken our lives are. God's amazing grace is greater. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just take you for granted sometimes, and we forget just how amazing you are. Lord, I've picked up this phrase from my brother Ron Brookshire, telling folks when they ask how I'm doing that I'm better than I deserve. I'm starting to think maybe I'm taking that for granted, because I am way better than I deserve. Lord, I can just confess to you on behalf of everyone in this room, we're all better than we deserve. What we deserve is a ticket to hell. The sin in our lives should separate us from you forever, but you have paved the way. You built a bridge for us when you sent Jesus to die on that cross. Lord, I pray that you would help us to elevate and acknowledge that simple truth in our lives, to walk around and act and think and talk like we know about your amazing grace. Lord, I pray it just would permeate every part of our lives so that folks around us would want to know about the hope that we have. They would see that hope and they'd be asking about it. And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name, if there's somebody here today who has not made that decision, who has not accepted and received your amazing grace, I pray right now in Jesus' name you give them another chance today. Lord, I believe Jesus is coming back any time and that we should be ready. And Lord, I pray if somebody here needs to take that step, that you would give him the courage to respond today. And I pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand if you're comfortable standing and sing with me, Amazing Grace, hymn number 330.